Blog Talk Radio.
Isaiah said one time when Hezekiah got a word, the King Hezekiah had got a message that he was going to die and he wasn't going to live. And so he went on to say, when Isaiah the prophet, God spoke through him and gave him the word, and the prophet said, good is the word of the Lord. So God's word is good. So thank God that we're able to look into the word of God one more time, knowing the Lord himself said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, that it may make the earth bringeth forth and to bud, that he may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word not return void, saith the Lord, but it shall accomplish the things in the thing that I sent it, and prosper in that which I please. So his word's not going to fall to the ground, but it's going to return void. It's not going to return void, but it's going to accomplish the purpose he sent it, and prosper in that which I please, saith the Lord. So his word is good. So that's why the writer says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And I'm told one of the, actually what it's saying is, oh, give thanks unto the Lord for good. So we see it, and it's translated for good, for he is good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So we thank God for that. So it's what we have to stand on, is the word of God. So we thank God. We've been talking about the Godhead. So we actually did a 2 years we've been on the air. This past February was 2 years that we've been doing Blog Talk Radio, this particular show called Truth. And we started off, and the first 3 weeks, I believe it was, we talked about the Godhead. So it's given a little understanding about the God who is the head of all things, about the same God. It's only one God, like the Bible said. A lot of people don't understand the revelation of Jesus Christ.
We know, I know men wrote the Bible, they translated the Bible, and I'm told that, and so many different versions. One word can change the word of God, but God is wise enough to leave on record what he wants to leave on record. And I'm told that the King James Version is the closest to the original manuscript. So God's word is alive. That's why the Hebrew writer says it's quick. That means it's alive and powerful than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder, even to the dividing of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner. What? God's word of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the writer goes on to say, neither is there any creature that is not made manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God and his word. You can't separate God from his word. Thank God for his word. So we like to thank God for all of our Blog Talk friends, our Blog Talk followers. They are those who are like I am, and many of them started even in Blog Talk Radio before I did, especially one person that I know of for sure who told me about Blog Talk Radio. That was my own brother in the person of Elder Broderick Cannon, along with his Doris, his wife, Evangelist Doris Cannon. He was the one that I found out about Blog Talk Radio through. So then also I spread it on to another evangelist in the person of Evangelist Harriet Kamak, who also has a show. So there's many out there in Blog Talk Radio land. There are others that are followers. We follow each other. We're Blog Talk friends. And then also I'd like to thank God for all the Facebook friends, the Facebook followers, and also the Twitter followers. So I apologize for last week. We had some connection problems, so we weren't able to post the link because we couldn't get hooked up to the web. I was able to broadcast because we do broadcast. Our microphone is the phone, so that was no problem. We just weren't able to make it convenient and send the link. Blog Talk Radio has set the show up where you can promote the show, you can send the link to Twitter, you can send the link to Facebook, and you can also send the link to the Blog Talk friends. So that's very convenient. So we thank God for that. And then also, in my show, I try to make sure when I schedule that I put the guest call-in number on in with the information, the episode information, when I schedule the show, so that makes it a lot easier. So you're welcome to call in. Our guest call-in number, 646-716-6566. That's 646-716-6566. So you're welcome to call in should you have a question, should you have a comment, should you have something that you want to contribute to the show, you are welcome to do so. We thank God for that. So we just thank God for this vehicle called Blog Talk Radio. And believe it or not, I don't know exactly. I know it's been around a few years at least. I don't know exactly how long Blog Talk Radio has been around. But I do know there are still people that don't know or they are not aware of Blog Talk Radio. You say it, they like, what? No, it's called Blog Talk Radio. But actually, you can blog on Blog Talk Radio, too. They have that set up, too, for if someone is a blogger and they want to blog while the host and whoever, the co-host or whoever, is working along with the host to do the show, they can blog also. Because we know we have all this technology, and thank God for the technology. It's fulfillment of the word of God, which the writer says in the book of Daniel about knowledge shall increase. So I believe it's the 12th chapter of Daniel. So we can see this is the fulfillment of the word of God. And so people, some very simple things like the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so people would like to think that that's absurd, like when you're dead, that's it. When you're dead, you're done. But we're body, we're soul, and we're spirit. And I mean, the proof is in it. You can go to sleep. You can dream. That's your mind. That's your spirit. You can dream you're somewhere and can be so very real. So the point being is we're body, soul, and spirit. When you die, the spirit goes back to God. The soul is in a state of unconsciousness with the body, and God's going to change that body. And so we're going to be changed. There is going to be a resurrection. In the book of Acts says a resurrection of the just and the unjust. Jesus said, the dead in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God and shall come forth. They that have done good to life eternal, they that have done bad to everlasting damnation. So it's once appointed unto men to die, and after this, the judgment. So it's real. So here's my point. Like I say, this technology, as I just mentioned. So we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The dead shall be raised incorruptible. And he's talking to the saints, the people of God, in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He says, we shall be changed. Not everybody. There's going to be the great white throne judgment. You don't want to be there. But the judgment must begin, Peter said, at the house of God. And that is, what am I talking about? After you get saved, after you repent of your sins, after you baptize in the name of Jesus, after God fills you with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other languages or other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance, you are born again. If you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Bible said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. No problem. God is in you. But the only way to get in Christ, you have to be baptized into Christ. So you can go all through the Bible. The only way that men and women, boys and girls, people were baptized was in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. So they're under the law in the New Testament. That was Jesus came. And so the fulfillment of everything that was written culminated on the day of Pentecost, which was the 50th day after the Passover, when Jesus told them to go to the back to Jerusalem and wait until they be endued with power from on high. We can read how they went into an upper room and talks about all the people that were there, Mary the mother of Jesus and all those that were there waiting on the promise of the Father. So he says, which saith he, ye have heard of me. John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So they were waiting with great expectation, and truly God came on the day of Pentecost, which was the 50th day after the Passover. So that was the fulfillment. And we know, for those of you that don't know and those of you that do, Luke is the writer. And he told them to wait until go back to the city of Jerusalem, wait until they be endued with power from on high. When Jesus was walking to the road of Emmaus, and they thought that he was the gardener because he appeared in another form. In the book of Mark, the 15th chapter, he appeared in another form. So he can never be what he is not, but when he gets done being what he wants to be, goes back to being what he always was. He never ceased to be. He's always God. He can leave you, come to you. He's not gone in nowhere. He's everywhere in every place. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. And like I said, we think when we're looking out in the middle of nowhere that we're looking out in space. But I got news for you. God is not in space, but space is in God. He's everywhere here now, everywhere God. So thank God for his word. And so the point being, we're going to be changed in a moment. In a moment, you can't even, before you can blink your eye, that moment that the Apostle Paul is talking about. So look what God has done. God has given knowledge to man or mankind. The Bible was written in the masculine gender. Knowing in that day, we're going to be as angels. That means we're going to be neuter gender. We're going to be neither male nor female. And this is, what a mystery. That's why the Bible talks about the mystery of Christ in the book of Colossians. And so this is letting us know what is going to happen to us. And so this is why the Lord had to take on a body, because God, the divine essence of God, is spirit. God is still a spirit. It doesn't matter what he chooses to become, he's still a spirit. And this is why Apostle Paul wrote about, he would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting, and about prayers and supplications be made for all men, all that lead authority. You know, that we made lead a peaceable life with all godliness. This is in 1 Timothy, the second chapter. Then he goes on to say, who will have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That verse 2, that's God's will, that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Then he goes on writing. He said, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man. That's so very important, the terminology there. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So it's so important. So he became the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And that's why I believe in St. John 1 and 29. That's what John said. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so today, what we want to do, we kind of dealt with, and then we're all over, because that's why Jesus said in St. John 5 and 39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they. What? They who? The scriptures, he says, which testify of me. One time he told them, Pharisees, he said, you had known Moses, you would have known me because he wrote of me. So that's the great mystery of the scripture. So like I said, and you got to declare the word of the Lord. So that's what the Bible is talking about. The good news and of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the ascension, and sending back the Holy Ghost, and the appearing when he takes the church away, and the second coming when he comes back to fight. When the Bible in the book of Jude says, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. So God's word is being fulfilled. And so sometimes we can look at what Jesus said, and you can't take it lightly. Because the things that he gave us warnings about, don't be deceived, take heed that no man deceive you. You got to know what God's word says, and so you won't be intimidated. I don't care. I believe in respecting authority. I believe in respecting leadership. But on the other hand, I don't care who you are. If you're a deceiver, you don't need no respect. So there's many deceivers, the Bible said, that's gone out in the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the world. John says, this is a deceiver and an antichrist. So people have exalted themselves above God. People are taking God's glory. Like I said, you really get in the Bible, you want to talk about it. The Bible or do, they had a saying years ago. I got saved in 1976. It says, and people say sayings, but a lot of things have validity to them. They said the word of God will do one or two things. It'll make you shout and glad, or it'll make you fight and mad. And they got that right, because you got to fight for your soul. You got one soul. And so this is, people are going to be lost because of what somebody told them. And the Bible is truth when it's rightly divided. So what we want to do on today is get into the word of the Lord. And we're going to be coming out of the book of Romans, where there is only three places in the Holy Writ or in the Bible, which is the inspired word of God, where the term Godhead is used. And so, and that is, it's in the the book of Acts, the 17 chapters, and the book of Romans, the first chapter, I believe 1 and 20, where we're going to come out of today, and also it's in the book of Colossians 2 and 9, where it says, talking about Christ, beware lest any man spoil you through vain deceit after the tradition of men, and not after Christ. In the book of Colossians 2 and 8 says, for in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And also, I think where we came out of last week, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commanded men everywhere to repent. This is so very important, even this next verse, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. And that is talking about Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. And Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. So today, we're going to get in, like I said, you jump all around when you talk about the Godhead, because you're talking about the God who is the head of all things. And so many people don't understand. Some stuff is don't even make sense if you think about it. Because when you don't understand terminology, when you're talking about somebody's right-hand man, that don't mean he could be with him. He ain't at his right hand all the time, literally. If we want to look at it like that, you see scripture says about Jesus standing on the right hand of God. I mean, he ain't up there in heaven and God got his hand open and he's standing in it. He is God. He is the right hand of God. And then you can see in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, who hath believed our report? He says, to whom is the arm of the Lord be revealed? He shall go up as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. Goes on to say about he has no form nor comeliness. We should see him. There should no beauty we should desire. He is stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He goes on to say, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of his peace was upon our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That's talking about Jesus, right there in the 53rd chapter of the eagle-eyed prophet Isaiah. So anyway, what we want to do here, just like I quoted this scripture here, this is quite a book here, the book of Romans. Even I'll just go to the first part of it and start. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. That's talking about the son. Son of God didn't come from heaven. The son of God came from the woman. Luke 1:35 says, therefore that holy thing, talking to Mary, which shall be born of thee, shall be, the operative word, called the Son of God, Luke 1:35. So very important. So it goes on to say, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which is made of the seed of David. So the Son of God didn't come from heaven. The Son of God came from the woman, Mary. But the Spirit of God came from heaven. And that voice that they heard, he brought his voice with them. So, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience of the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be at Rome, this is Apostle Paul's letter, beloved of God, he had heard about their faith, and we're going to see here, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son. That's the office of sonship. You can read about that in the book of Hebrews. God, comma. Whoever heard in the English language where you wrote a word, one word, and put a comma there. It says God, comma, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, this is Hebrews, the first chapter, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, and he spoke to by the prophets in past time, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son. Why is all these people rose up talking about they a prophet so-and-so? They lying, telling you about sowing a seed for a blessing. That is a lie. I never forget. I got tricked one time along with a number of others. Pay $60 and your bills will be paid for 3 years. That was a lie out of hell. God didn't say that, and that is a lie. And I was one of the ones who got tricked in that lie. And I could call his name out, but I won't. You get tricked. You don't have to get tricked again. You got to know what's going on, and the answer is in the Word of God. So he spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. So what did the prophets do? They told us about Jesus coming. The law of Moses and the Psalms and the prophets, they testify of him. That's why he said, if you would have read Moses, you would have known of me because he wrote of me. So this is where we get our answers, in the Word of God. So he goes on here, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace, peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. But anyway, I think I already read that part. God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. He's not talking about no money. He's going to let us know. He's coming to impart some spiritual gift. So he goes on to say here, for I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto. That means he was hindered. That I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. Let me pause right here. Park my car. Some people think that the church started in Rome, but that is not true. God's holy mountain is Jerusalem. It always was, it always will be. The holy mountain of God is Jerusalem. It don't matter if we don't like it. Those are the people that he chose. Like they say, the Jews have the money and the Arabs have the oil. And that's just the way it is. And there's nothing we can do about it. So I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So remember he was saying that woman was crying out to him, and he was saying he's not going to take, it's not meat to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. And so he said, I am not come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So we got to understand what the gospel was all about, and wasn't time for the Gentiles during that time. And so we go on to say, he said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's back in the book of Habakkuk. That quote is coming from literally saying, Habakkuk 2 and 4, it says, about standing upon my watch, I'm going to wait to see. He will answer me when I am reproved. Then he was saying, write the vision, make it plain upon table that he may read, run that readeth it. So in other words, he's running while he's reading the vision. And then he was saying, though I wait for it, tarry it, it'll wait, it shall surely come. And his soul which is lifted up is not in right, upright in him. And he went on to say the literal quote in the book of Habakkuk, the just shall live by his faith. So Apostle Paul says, just shall live by faith. There's another word in there when you literally go back. So he says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So it's amazing. I remember this man had some kind of ailment. I guess he was I don't know if he was a scientist or what he was, but he was in a wheelchair. He couldn't even hardly talk or nothing. But I guess on you wouldn't say dying bed because he was in a wheelchair. But anyway, he couldn't walk or nothing. But one thing he wanted to make clear, and the devil had his mind, and that is, even on his dying bed, he couldn't talk or nothing. He wanted to make it plain that he did not believe in God. What a horrible account to do something like that. What a proclamation. What a declaration to declare, I still don't believe in him. I don't care. That's the attitude that he had. So what the Bible is saying in Romans 3:3, it says, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God of non-effect? God forbid. What is it talking about? The faithfulness of God? It doesn't matter. If somebody don't believe, too bad for them. We got to believe God. We're not going to get away. So we a lot of times, and that's what people wonder about. And see, some people are hid from the wrath that is to come. It's in the book of Isaiah. And there's men that are walking around. You wonder, they're not going to get away. See, it doesn't matter if you live 100 years, but it's nothing. James says, what is our life? What is your life? It's but a vapor. Appears for a little while and it vanishes away. So 100 years is nothing compared to eternity. Once you close your eyes, once you blow that last breath out, it's too late. You can't get it right. So that's why we got to take advantage. We got to have the right attitude and to be just like God. Hey, God going to pour out his wrath. I mean, we got to love. We should love every. What am I simply saying? We should love what he loves. We should hate what he hates. It ain't wrong to hate. Hate what God hates. Be mad at what God is mad at. But know this. That's why the scripture says that God said, vengeance is mine, I'll repay. That don't mean that I'm going letting people just make a fool out of me. No. And you can come and try. And you won't if I can help it, as far as that part goes. But the point being is God is the one who fights our battle. And, I mean, he gives us plenty to work with in the scriptures. So we're not, there's such thing as defending yourself. There's such thing as going on the offense if you have to. So that being said, we're going to move on. So anyway, so these people try to play down, and some people, even I've heard people say about they didn't think, there's some things God is angry with the wicked every day. It's what the book of Psalms says. So the Bible said in Psalm 9:17 that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations, plural, that forget God. So God is not playing. So God is angry against unrighteousness and all. So it matters not who does what. So the thing of it is that everything, all unrighteousness is sin. When we read in the Word of God and we rightly divide the Word, I mean, that's in the first epistles of John. That's, he says, the devil is manifest, I mean, the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. So this is why that was all done. So that's why he took on that body. That body, they're going to see, and it's still a purpose in seeing the wounds in his hands and all that. He's going to answer in that day, where'd you get all those wounds? Said, I was wounded in the house of my friends. So that's all going to, the Son's going to be subject to the Father. So in other words, he's going to put down all rule and authority. He's going to reign till he put all enemies under his feet. In the book of 1 Corinthians, you can read about that. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So God is God. And that's why people, and real Jews, they don't want to give Jesus the credit. They said, you saying you're Son of God? You making yourself equal with God? Oh, yes, he is. He is God. He spake as a man many times. He spake as God. And you read the Gospels when you see when Jesus came on the scene, and even the devils that were in people, they said to Jesus, "We know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Are you come to torment us before the time?" They knew who he was. He told them to hold their peace. He cast out devils and come out of him. He didn't have to use the name because he was the name. They came out. They tore some people, foamed at the mouth, all of that. But any devil that he cast out, he came out because he got authority. He's to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Nobody can stay his hand or say unto him, "What doest thou?" He's the same guy was back there in the Old Testament. He's the same one. Like I've said, if you listen to the episodes and what we're saying in the book, you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah no more in the Bible. But it's one God. That's what we have to understand. So this is what he's saying here. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God to the image of image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts and dishonored their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient unto parents, to parents without natural affection, covenant breakers without a natural affection, and placable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So we know what that is talking about, and some people think that was the end of homosexuality and all these other evil things, adultery and lying and all of that is all in the same category. When he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, no, it's not. He said like it was in the days of Lot. What happened? We know what happened. When he delivered that man out, Peter said, that righteous man vexed his righteous soul from day to day, seeing and hearing the filthy conversation of the wicked. What is he saying, Peter, when he says those words, talking about Lot? He's talking about the lifestyle of the wicked. He sat in the gate of Sodom. So you got to either be with God or against him. You got to be with something or against it. So you can't just, we have a little saying. People say, well, to each his own. No, it's not. We got to do what God say or we're going to be lost, period. Matters not who you are. So we might as well face that. And, I mean, you break man's law, you're going to be punished for breaking the law. How much more God? Because that's why we have laws, or else it would be anarchy. It would be a mess. We didn't have laws, and the folks is on the rampage, the devil's on the rampage. Now, along with laws, how much would it be if we were totally lawlessness? That's pretty much what's going on. So here, what he's talking about is eternal power and Godhead. So we know he is the God who is the head of all things, and many don't know who he is, who he was, what he was doing. They don't understand the purpose of the sonship. And so just like I quoted the scripture earlier about there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, we can also read about the oneness in the book of Philippians and also the sister book in the book of Ephesians. With these books, these letters are written to people who are already saved. This is not for everybody, but this is for the born-again believer. So this is letting the believer know. We've been through these books also here on Blog Talk Radio. These are letting people know their positions, the people that are in the church. So this is why he was saying, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He goes on to say, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. What is that one body? That's the body of Christ. What is that one Spirit? That's the Spirit of God. And so, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And see, people don't understand the oneness of God. That one baptism is water and Spirit. So what is the analogy? Like in the 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter said, they were all baptized in the cloud, baptized in, under Moses in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians there. So, and how you went through the sea. So the, just like the water, God opened that. That's a typology. He opened up the Red Sea. He saved the children of Israel when he took them through the Red Sea. When you're baptized in the name of Jesus, you are saved, Peter said, by water. He said, the like figure doth also now save us. He's talking about Noah preaching in 1 Peter back there in the third or the fourth chapter. He was talking about in the days of Noah, the long-suffering God waited in the days of Noah, talking about when while the ark was in preparing. And then he was talking about how few therein, eight souls were saved by water. He goes on to say, the like figure doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a clear conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, angels and principalities all made subject unto him. So what am I saying? Just like the children of Israel were saved when they went through the water in the Red Sea, they were saved by water. They went through the water. The same water that saved the children of Israel destroyed their enemies. God has sent that east wind with a wall on either side. They went down in there. How dumb could you be? Knowing that God opened it up, you couldn't be that stupid. You shouldn't be, Pharaoh and all your army. Go down in there and God let that water go back together. So the same water that saved them destroyed their enemies. The same way it is in the baptism today. Same water that saves you destroys your enemy. So that's why he said we've been planted together in the likeness of his death. We too shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified, we should not henceforth serve sin. That's in the sixth chapter of the book of Romans. So I don't know. It's amazing how the devil has people confused. And to think that there's two and three gods, and the devil knows. And James 2:19 says, thou believest there is one God, thou do as well as the devils. Also believe and tremble. The devil know. And all the little devil spirit, ain't no demons, no such thing as that. That's biblical terminology. There is a word called devils with a little d. The big D is Satan himself. But the devils know that there is one God, and they tremble. They got people thinking there are two or three. How they know it's only one? Because that's all they've seen was one. They know it's only one God. So this is, there's one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. See, there's no comment between there of all. Then he goes on to say, what is his position? He is above all, comma, and through all, comma, and in you all. Who is he talking about? Baptized believers. So there should be no argument, you know, that at the name of Jesus in the book of Philippians, every knee should bow, and things in heaven and things in earth and things in hell, things under the earth. You want to call that that. So we know that there, the Bible talks about not leaving your soul in hell, neither seeing thy Holy One, seeing corruption. He's not talking literally talking about hell, but he is talking about Sheol. He is talking about the grave. And David saw corruption, but Jesus, the Christ, did not see corruption. So then he goes on to say, so this is so great here. We're talking about the Lord. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. You can read that in the 68th Psalm in verse 6. God said the solitary in families, he brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land. He goes on to talk about the gifts and all of that, even the rebellious, so that the Lord God may dwell among them. So this is where that quote came from. So he goes on to say, he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? That he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And like I said it before, I got a question. How far is far above all heavens? Nobody could do that but the Lord himself. Job said that God treadeth upon the waves of the sea. What was Jesus doing when the disciples saw him? Walking on the sea. Matthew wrote it. John wrote it. I believe Matthew wrote it in the 15th chapter. John wrote it in the 6th chapter. And the gospel according to Mark, he wrote it also in the 6th chapter of Mark. He was walking on the sea. Disciples was in the boat. They saw Jesus walking on the sea. They cried out. They thought it was a spirit. Jesus said, "Behold, it is I. Be not afraid." Said one writer said that when they saw him walking on the sea, that he would have passed by, but they cried out. And so in John's writing, in John's 6:21, says when they had gladly received him into the ship. Now, you go back and read that account in St. John, the 6th chapter. When Jesus was walking on the water, they received him into the ship in the 21st verse, and the Bible said, immediately they were at the other side where they went. And I'm still trying to catch up with that. So, in other words, when he got in there, in that ship, they were at the other side. Who we're talking about? Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. When he got on board, they were at the other side. Everybody else said how many furlongs they rode, but John didn't say that. He said, I don't think y'all saw this. When he got in the ship, immediately we were at the other side. That's the same word in the 4th chapter of Revelation. And it says, immediately I was in heaven, you know, the church. In the 4th chapter of book of the Revelation, the church is in heaven. Looking back, the first 3 chapters, he's trying to get people attention, talking about the church ages, saying, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. So our tags on today, because we're talking about the known and known and revealed, those are the same words. I even use that word when we go off. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preaching unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So the subject is God. We know the one that was all of these things happened to, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can understand his word when we are filled with his spirit. Then we have the power of God. And so there was a very important question in the book of Acts, in the first chapter of Acts, I believe the 6th verse, they were asking Jesus, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He goes on to let them know, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. And he goes on to say, but, in verse 8, Acts 1 and 8, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He said those things. He stepped on a cloud. I mean, what man you seen step on a cloud? Now, a lot of us, many of you under the sound of my voice, UF flew in these big 747s, these 757s. I mean, that is all tons of steel. Who God gave man the wisdom to take those planes up. They don't go up instantaneously. A rocket, it blasts off. That's a lot of fuel, and a lot could happen with all that stuff going up like that. And that's what happened to that one, that Challenger back in the 80s that in so many 70-something seconds or whatever, blew up with so much firepower. And that's just it just was too much all at once. Everything don't work right. But we have been up in airplanes, and you got to get up, I'm told, to almost 180 miles an hour, somewhere that about, that's close to 200 miles an hour, before you go airborne in an airplane. Jesus didn't do that. The Bible said he stepped on a cloud and received him out of sight. That's why those angels that stood by said, two men in white apparel, ye men of Israel, why stand ye gazing? I would have been gazing too. Seen a man step on a cloud and received out of their sight. Said, the same Jesus, which is taken up, he shall come in like manner. When is that? In the 19th chapter of the book of the Revelation, when he come. His name is going to be called the Word of God. He's not going to be playing. So we want to be on his side. So this is why we got to understand of who he is and not be afraid. So there's only one man, one grade you could go to, and don't even matter. You don't even have to go there now. Some people want to go and all that. They tore all that down, tore down that temple and all that. One grade you can go to that the angel said, he is not here. He is risen as he said. This is what he said to those disciples and the women. Come see the place where the Lord lay. They didn't take away the stone so he can get out. They took away the stone so they could get in. He folded his clothes up. He got up just like he said he would on the third day. That's why he said, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Apostle Paul wrote, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So what? This corrupt are going to put on incorruption? Just like he did. He became the first fruits of them that slept. Then cometh the end, when he shall put down all rule and authority, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That's the last enemy. So you don't want to be on the side. No one in their right mind. The second death is going to be cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever's name is not written in the book of life is going to be cast into the lake of fire. So this is why, as people of God, you got to admonish one another. You got to encourage one another. Because the devil is a fool. He's the biggest fool in the world. And he uses people. And he tries our faith. And he comes against us. Try to get us discouraged. To try to throw us off track. And he will throw a monkey wrench in. Anytime the Lord is blessing, you do have to anticipate the devil. Because the devil is the big piece of trash. And he means you no good. Jesus said that he's a thief. He cometh for nothing but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And he's a piece of trash. He's not playing. And so you should be like Jesus. You got to be mad at him. Realize who he is and the garbage that he is. And get yourself saved and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and get the name of Jesus to get your sins remitted so you can fight that dirty devil. He don't have no power over you. The worst thing he could do, the worst he could do to me is to kill me physically. I'm not lost. I'm saved. All my sins are behind me, before me. They're not following after me. They're gone. Like the song said, all my sins been taken away. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. So we're trying to let you know. So God has an order. So there, like I said, people, so it's so important to understand about the Word of God. And so you can go back in the Old Testament, just like some scriptures we have made mention about. There are scriptures in the 42nd chapter of Isaiah when the Lord was saying, I'm God. There's none else. There's none with me. There's none beside me. There's none after me. There's none before me. There's none with me. I don't know of any. In the 43rd chapter, he was saying, you are my witnesses, that you may, and you are my servants, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe that I am he. Before me there was no God form, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. So he is the Savior. Ain't nobody beside him, nobody with him, nobody after him, nobody before him. So we got to understand these things. It's the same Lord, and the devil knows that is only one God. And so just think at the command of God, how mighty God is. We sing that song, What a Mighty God We Serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. In the 20th chapter of the book of the Revelation, God is going to have one angel lay hold of that dragon, that old serpent, the devil, and bound him in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. So, I mean, I remember one time somebody was making a comment about that. I said, is that the command of God? One angel is going to lay hold on him and bound him. He ain't going to be, let me go, you're going to get it. No, one angel is going to throw the devil into the bottomless pit. Why is that? Because God said it. Nobody can stay his hand. That's what Daniel, in the book of Daniel, talking about God, said that he does what he will in the army of heaven. None can stay his hand. In other words, you can't hinder him or say unto him, what doest thou? So Jeremiah, he picked it up. In Jeremiah 10:10, he says, but the Lord is the true God. Talking about the same one. There's only one. Blessed Jesus, he's the one. And so we can read about that in the Word of God. So he said he is the true God. The Lord is the true God. And so we got to believe the report. So now if Jesus hadn't been God, and I mean we got to, I mean some things are kind of, we can make it seem comical or whatever. If Jesus hadn't been God, he would have got struck down. All what he did. No, he is God. And that people don't understand that. You got to understand when he's in his patent state. Understand when he is in his Latin state. When he called Lazarus from the dead, he was very God. It's like he said, no man take my life. In the 10th chapter of St. John, I have power to let. Not he didn't say, he said, I have power, not the power. In that particular scripture, he said, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. Some say pick it back up. He didn't say that. He said take it because he got it. And he said when he called Lazarus from the dead in the 11th chapter of St. John, when he let Mary and Martha and them know, they were saying, you had been here, my brother had not died. He said, whatever thou ask of God, we know that he here. In the resurrection, we're going to see our brother in the last day. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He's talking about the second death. He's not talking about the physical death. So we thank God for his word, and time has got away on the day. And God willing, we'll talk to you on next week. And without controversy, we thank God for you listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God bless you. Haiti didn't. That's it now. He last 3 weeks we've been doing the Godhead, because we said, you know, when we first started off, we did the Godhead.